Hello, patrons. How's it going? Welcome to the post show. Adam, what was the table that you rolled on in terms of numbers for that? Because I want to know how crazy that roll is.
So I made a random encounter table for the dungeon, and there's a few rooms in the dungeon I specifically preset. But I gave the like Lord of the Manor, because he wanders the halls. I gave him he's got one weight in the table. The total amount of weight in the table is like, let's see, 12, 16, 20. It was like a 1 in 30 chance, basically, that he would be the first thing. Yeah, not like crazy unreasonable, because he's around. But yeah, interesting start. I certainly didn't expect it when I was prepping the
dungeon. That's why when I saw him, like, okay, so what the fuck? Like, usually we fight through some little shit. And
I think me and Dan knew why to run. But Max, do you know why we ran from that?
I know what the fuck. Yeah.
But do you realize,
I know, like, it's like a crazy.
Do you realize
it's like an unwinnable scenario? I understand.
So
it's like,
that thing would beat that stone golem's ass.
Yeah.
Like pretty easily. That thing has legendary actions.
all kinds of
fun shit going on.
I'm not stupid. Berg is stupid. I'm not stupid.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because like the second
distinction sometimes.
I don't think it's about stupidity. It's just about being familiar with, because like I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't consider myself like dumb. I just don't know enough.
The thing is too, is like, I think it's also important as Berg to. Berg doesn't have the sense about himself to be like,
oh yeah,
that is a CR 13 or 15. Like, I need to get the fuck out.
Right.
Yeah. So totally.
I think character wise, Dan probably knows how strong as a character. Dan would know how strong as a vampire is. And
No. None of you would ever have interacted with a vampire or like had any. Plus, it's not just like straight up a vampire. Like, I changed some stuff about the character.
Right.
Obviously, because he like doesn't like necessarily drink blood or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, like just by default, you wouldn't know. Like, you could make an arcana check if you get some clues. Like when you were asking about like how long does charm last, somebody could make an arcana check to try to figure that out. You know, to be like, oh, it should pass after a certain period of time.
For me, I think it made sense to run because Enoch's kind of a coward, especially when he sees some of the potential.
Well, even if your characters, like, even if they haven't encountered anything like that, like Ramus and Enoch could both, it could be argued that they have high enough of intelligence compared to Berg, where they can, you know, infer this guy's really calm. He's like the Lord of the Manor. You know what I mean? Like, it's really fucking sketchy shit. And he just charmed the shit out of somebody. And it's like, ugh, must I fight? You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. Context clues, of course, you know, are something that you can make, informed decision, even just as a character.
Yeah.
And like, Ramus doesn't really know this halfling that much. Like,
exactly. Ramus is a very selfish individual anyways.
We haven't known Ziva for that long. Really, she was, there's ways I think that we could argue why we ran and it didn't actually like fuck with us that bad. I understand that Berg is going to be one that never wants to run from any fight, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't think Enoch fucking cares at all. He'd rather stay alive than be dead.
Well, and that's a part of it too, is like Berg eventually like weighed, like, if he's staying by himself, like, he, as much as he doesn't want to see Ziva die, like, he also knows Ramus more than he knows Ziva, and he knows Enoch more than he, you know what I mean? So I guess it's a matter of like clinging on to like stuff that's familiar to him.
Right.
Because he doesn't really have much, you know, so.
Everyone in chat was saying, like, oh, God, Anne's got to be mad. Like, they're just bailing on her and that kind of thing. And it's like, we have to RP it the way that that's part of the game. And it's the randomness of how the die are rolled. You know, like, I could have avoided, if I had rolled better on the wisdom saving throw, then I could have not been charmed.
Right.
Obviously, yeah. I didn't want to go with the creepy dude, but I was charmed. And so, like, you just have to RP it that way. And, like I don't. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm, like, not mad that you guys were like, well, we should just not fight this thing, because that's what your characters would do if you were just recognized, like, this is a dangerous situation, you know, that kind of thing. So,
Adam,
I think what really screwed us over was the initiative order. Because
right.
If Berg had gone before me, he could have easily run up, grabbed me, and then gone completely differently. But because I moved first, and I have to RP as though I'm charmed, and, you know, I just followed that guy down in the tunnel, so...
Adam, what was the the number to beat in terms of that charm roll, was she close at all with the 13? Granted, it doesn't matter because it's all chance. But
I'm not telling you that. You have to roll that again. You roll that shit again later.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to tell you, but I don't. I like keeping it a secret for now.
Yeah.
I will say this. It was, I mean, you were kind of in the ballpark. It wasn't like a totally embarrassing like failure.
Yeah, it was a 13.
13. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I knew something fucking nuts was about to happen. But I thought when you rolled that, Adam, and it showed up in the chat log, I thought that that was you making that face because it was a mistake. And then I realized actually what was happening. And I was just like, oh, we're all about to die if we fight right here.
Yep.
That's the thing.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like I can set up macros if I want to like set them, to set private. It like,
yeah,
whatever is secret. But I was like, yeah, I don't really need to worry about that. Like, cause they're not specific. They're in blocks. So like, you know, I won't say exactly what you encounter. It'll be like vermin or whatever. And then I have another subtable that I would roll secretly. Cause it's fun to be like, okay, here's the encounter. It's called this. But yeah, the Lord of the House, I was just surprised because it was the one that I was like, I'll put it on the table. They probably won't encounter it first. And then the critical fumble as these things go.
Yeah.
But it was pretty. Yeah. It was actually pretty
critical fumbles, talking about my rolls. Jesus, fuck everything. It's like 0, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty rough.
I mean, you're lucky. Listen, let's just say this. You're lucky that the person that got charmed was Jiva and not Berg.
That's true. Yeah. Anytime Berg gets charmed is bad.
Because I would have been like, cool, Berg, a bunch of murderers have come to kill your best friend. What do you do? And you would have been like, I flip out.
Yeah. You would have fought us right away.
The appropriate thing to do would be to like, flip out and fight them. So it's.
That is true. It's fortunate that it was like the weakest attacking party member, because instead of running at them, trying to fight them, I was like, let me follow him into this dark tunnel.
Exactly. Because if it was Berg, he would have been like, Berg, kill these fools, and then he would have disappeared.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Yeah, that could have been rough for sure.
That would have been kind of fun, though, because Berg would have got some combat. It was interesting, the one time where I was like attacking, what was it, Ramus, I think? Mm-hmm. Or somebody, I can't remember which one it was. But
Angel, I think.
Yeah. The fuck out of him.
When we fought down in the caves or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I like the beginning of that episode. I think most of the time when I've been involved in like a DM crumb trail type situation, it's been like kind of slow and a little like forced in that sense. But I thought that was great.
So you want to know something funny about that trail? It wasn't me trailing away from you leading crumbs. It was you chasing a trail that didn't exist and me making shit up so that you would have things to follow.
Yeah, which is great. I think that was perfect.
I think that's why the pacing. I think that's why the pacing was different.
Because the pacing was great on that. Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're really interested in this thing. Let's find out. Let's follow that trail, because I didn't really prep for that at all. I had some ideas. Like I know what happened to the guy. Obviously, you found out. But I thought it would just be like, oh, he's missing. That's odd. Let's go to the place. Then I would be like, haha, the innkeeper's dead on the stairs. But instead, we were like, oh, let's go and investigate this other thing. We'll go on a little Scooby-Doo and see what's up.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fun.
Sort of like there's ash here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other way, or the other situation with the guards, I would probably wager to say 99.9% of all my other characters would have killed those guards. And so for me, I just told the truth and it kind of worked out.
Yeah, it worked out all right. Out.
It was kind of interesting. Most of the other times it's literally like we try to lie, the lie goes horrible, and we have to kill them. And I think that's what like chat was saying was going to happen right away when they saw the guards, like, oh, they're going to fight these guys. And I'm sure everyone thought that as well.
No. I had a feeling. I mean, here's the difficult part that I always end up like with Berg. I'll think of like things we could do, and then I'm like, well, there's no real way for me to verbalize this because it makes no sense. Berg's not a planner.
Right.
Follow along, Berg. Do as you're told. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, I figured, you know, me as Max, yeah, I was thinking like, well, I mean, we are just here and we are staying at the inn. There's probably people that they can confirm we've been coming in and out of the inn. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense for our motives to just murder this dude. And there's no evidence that supports that, really. Like, we're brandishing weapons and things like that, but we're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wouldn't make sense.
That was the other thing, too, in that exact line of thinking. Like, anything that I said that was the truth, Adam couldn't have been like, gotcha, we're going to take you to jail.
Yeah, exactly right.
So I was just like,
here's the thing that I think that people playing role-playing games tend to forget. You know, adventurers killing monsters, sure. Adventurers killing other adventurers, whatever. You kill a cop and fucking the game changes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. They're not going to let go. They're not going to be like, oh, you killed a bunch of town guards. Well, shucks, you adventurers.
No, we would have been fucked.
They'd be like, cool, well, let's just increase that star rating to 3 and exactly, let's send in the bigger, tougher guys after you.
Yeah.
And the tough thing is that it'll totally derail a game if you follow it through narratively. If you're like, okay, what would happen if you just like killed some random guards out in the open, in a place where everyone knew where they were going to be? You know, it gets messy fast.
I feel like that's such the standard reaction to that, though.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, I blame poor DMing on that. Like, if you let your players get away with shit, they'll just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why, like, in Swan Song, you could get away with, like, shooting people and leaving.
We would leave the planets.
Yeah, the universe is a huge place. No one is in connection with anyone else, and there's no cops. There's just private, like, security people who don't share information or help each other. So, like, in a world where that's the case, it's much easier to get away with being a violent jerk if you need to. But in the biggest city in the world, with like an organized government and like a bunch of other shit going on, it's much harder to be like, I just crossbow them in the face.
Right.
Yeah. That would be very much, you have to cover up, like, think of a game plan to hide them, to throw off the trail, because they're going to send more guards. They're going to investigate further. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I think it's more fun when you play within kind of the rules of the universe. And if you just are like, all right, stab him in the face. I stab his friend in the face. And I stab this other dude. It's just kind of like not, it's unrealistic.
Yeah, because when does that stop? Like you said, like the DM gets taken advantage of, and the DM just lets it happen.
Well, the funny thing is that it's very much like playing Grand Theft Auto. Like in Grand Theft Auto, you rack up a shit ton of stars, and you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, well, the only way out of this is basically I'm just gonna die. And in that game, you get to reset in the hospital or whatever. But like in D&D, it's like, okay, well, cool. They will just keep hunting you, and like you've changed the course of the campaign.
You're saying we can't just hide in a little hay bale for a bit and then just pop out after it's done?
That's the other thing. But that's essentially another form of retiring a character where you're like, cool, I leave the country.
Yeah.
And I go into hiding for years.
Yeah.
So that the guards, they'll never forget, but they stop looking for me.
I think I accidentally looted a box in The Witcher inside of a guard, and suddenly on the thing it was like there were probably 15 like level 50 guards. Yeah. They weren't just like regular dudes, it was like they were really out leveled with me. Yeah. So
your life is over. Like that's it.
Yeah.
Dan, what do you think about the end of that episode? Because I thought it was Hassan to begin with, and I was playing along with it, and then I realized, oh, this is the Mara, and I kept playing along with it because that was more fun.
I love watching Dan. I love watching you realize what was going on. We're like, wait a second, oh, this isn't the guy. This is a different guy.
No, I had a feeling right off the bat, like as a player, that I'm like, that's not Hassan. I feel like Hassan, if that was one of his abilities to possess people, he'd probably just talk like himself and whatever. And also,
that's good paying attention to the motifs of the game, right? And that every time Hassan shows up, I mention the smell of his tobacco smoke and his tattoos. And
waiting for you to do is say like you catch a waft of the scent of the smoke and it's changed in a familiar way, you know, like something like that.
Yeah. And like he's never taken control of a body before. He's always just come in person.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just really out of character to take control of someone like that.
Yep.
And even though I realize, like, okay, this is probably Mara, I'm like, all right, Berg doesn't necessarily know this quite yet. He's just like, I'm desperate. I need help. They're helping me. Let's go.
Right. The only person that's going to be able to, like, know that, because I've never had any interactions with Hassan or the Mara, so I don't know at all how that works. Yeah. So I just kept playing along.
I love having you in the middle of all this.
Let's go get the power. Let's fucking go get it. And Ramus is just like, fuck no.
I love that. Like, Ramus, what the fuck's your problem? We need power.
You don't want that power.
Well, I think what's cool is that, and we've sort of established this in the lore of the universe, that like the gods aren't really real. Like when you pray to the tower, there is no tower to listen.
Right.
The gods are a method for humanity to understand and channel the power source of the fountain. So praying to them doesn't really do anything unless you're a cleric, in which case you're really just like filtering a power source. Mm-hmm. So when desperate people pray for help, the Mara are the ones that hear it. The Mara are like, oh, need some help, yeah. Do you? Yeah. I can help you. And I mean, what he was saying to you wasn't like lies, right? Like, what has the tower ever actually done for you? You've lost a lot and like suffered a ton and cool, mm-hmm. it's making you do things. But like, how about not that anymore? How about we do a different thing?
Yeah.
At the same time, I have absolutely no idea how we're even going to bother with the vampire. I really don't know how, and from what I understand too of
with
the rolling
garlic,
I don't even know how we're going to encounter him again unless he's always down there and we just have to find him. But it seems like when Adam makes that roll, that's what appears. So I don't know.
Yep, stuff and get figured out.
Yeah. One thing I learned in this game is sometimes you just have to walk away from a fight. It's not, you don't have to fight everything.
Yeah.
This might be one of those situations.
We did walk away from a lot of fights in the beginning of the show.
Stuff we shouldn't have walked away from, but I felt like this was a situation where we should walk away for this one.
Yeah.
Just had that feeling.
The beginning of the show, too, I mean, I kind of argue that part of the reason why we walked away from the beginning of a lot of stuff in the beginning is because we were still feeling out the world, right? And we kind of had some like oh fuck, like this is actually kind of dangerous moments. And then we get a little gun shy and we're like a little assuming every single, you know, encounter might be, you know, so you're just like you do like the like dipping your toe in the water kind of thing of like is it the right temperature, is it not, you know, like
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but now that we kind of have more experience in this world and have gone through a bunch of stuff, we kind of have a little more understanding. Like, all right, well, maybe this is worthwhile. This one isn't. So like we're clearly fucked on this one. Or
yeah. And I was just trying to think, like, what do we need down there? There was like nothing that like I could think Ramus would want down there.
Well, that we know of. Yeah, we don't know what's.
Yeah,
in the
nothing
actual...
that we know what's. We don't know anything that's down there. We're not even really 100% sure like what our mission really is.
Well, it was Ziva's mission, so not ours. Yeah. Right? Like our mission is to kill something.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know what?
Yeah.
Ziva made it down into the vault. She's there.
Well, that's an actual question I'll probably ask Adam and Anne after the show. Like, is Ziva's storyline done? Obviously we weren't here when we took our headphones off, so it might not be done. But
she's now a vampire.
Like, Is Anne going to come on next episode and just sit there for 3 hours?
Anne and I are starting a new show. Just me and her. And it's about the adventures of a cool halfling with
the vampire who struggles
with the darkness within. It's like Blade, but instead
True Blood.
Of Wesley Snipes, it's Frodo Baggins.
Nice.
Yeah.
Frodo Baggins, half a vampire.
Yeah. Hollywood will make that movie in the next couple of years. When they start running out of ideas, they'll start mixing different books. So I don't know. I guess we'll find out what happens on the next episode, which sounds like it'll be next Tuesday. And Anne may or may not be there, depending on if a flight gets missed, which is fine if she's not there, because we could just do our side of things for 3.5 hours. Because again, I have zero fucking
flight.
Do what? Or not miss flight, but if your flight's delayed, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. Dan and Max, you guys should think of ways to figure this out, because I have absolutely zero.
I also
have no idea like how we can even refer to that thing, because we don't necessarily know it's a vampire, right, Adam? We've never seen anything like that.
No. Yeah, technically all we know is that it charmed her or looked like it did, and then it went away and whistled. That's all we really saw.
Yeah.
Called Berg a slave.
True.
Yeah, I figured Berg was just gonna rush in there and die the second he did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he lived. Which works.
Berg always lives until he doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I feel like it's coming. I feel like it's coming for Berg. I don't know.
I think if we fought today, we would have been dead.
Yeah.
In like a round or two. At most. But whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Well, we'll see what happens next week, I guess, if we can figure out some plans. We gotta find a fucking wizard or something. If there's even one willing. We can't go talk to the town guard. We could maybe try to go talk to the fucking royals of the city, but they haven't seen an audience in forever, apparently. According to the lore we got like 2 or 3 episodes ago, so that's not going to help.
Yeah, my thing is like most of the city has ignored this whole estate, and they probably are just fine ignoring it.
Yeah, it's just like
keep fronts. Ignoring it. Everything's fine.
Yeah. It's perfectly fine. It's okay.
I mean, the city is full of magical shit, so like, I mean, the lord of the house is a horrible soul-sucking vampire. Well, I mean, what noble isn't a horrible soul-sucking vampire? Yeah. Like, it's not that. I mean, second, they still pay their taxes? All right, fine. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll figure out what it's going to be, and then we'll see you guys for the next live show. Thanks once again for your support here. And if you're watching this on the 29th, me and Adam will see you on the 31st for a Q&A at...
That's right.
6 o'clock Pacific. Is that what we said, Adam?
We did it.
6 o'clock Pacific. All right.
Yep.
We're out, though. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.